here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Monday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Coming up on the show, there's going to be a lot about the NFL draft, a lot about an NHL team I am absolutely fed up with. Plus, we got some NBA, and it is a major combat sports weekend. We got Canelo talk. We have UFC 301, eye roll. And we get ready for WWE Backlash. So a lot to get to on this show. Thank you guys for tuning in today. Let's start with a lot on the NFL draft. All right, we begin today talking about the NFL draft. And I think the biggest takeaway from the draft this weekend is there was just a lot of good players in this draft. And I think that's why you saw the lack of movement that we did in terms of trades. There was a lot of talk, Giants will trade up to 3, Vikings will try to trade up to 3, maybe these guys will trade up to 6, maybe these guys into 4, blah, 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 blah. And then as the draft is going on, it's like, well, good player here, I'll just take that player and move on. Well, good player here, I'll just take that good player and move on. So I think a lot of teams were just very content with the quality of player that they were getting. And you look on down the line, it does basically see, and I will say, with one exception, it does, more than one exception, but it does seem that a lot of teams got at least a pretty good player out of this one. Like, this was a very good first round. And so there was, again, not a lot of movement, and a lot of teams probably feeling pretty happy about what they have coming out of today, and coming out of this weekend, and a lot of fan base is probably pretty happy about that as well. Which brings us to Atlanta, as the Falcons make the pick of the draft that I think really does kind of shape things for the rest of it, as Michael Penix Jr. goes at 8 to the Falcons. There was, as the day was going on, there was more and more buzz that this was a thing that was going to happen. And I kind of thought it was a smokescreen. I thought it was, okay, yeah, no, they're going to take a quarterback. Everyone watch out so that you can, someone has to trade up into that spot and come get that quarterback, come and get it. And then they did it. And I was absolutely flabbergasted. I was not able to watch the draft live, and so when that came down, my jaw just dropped. I was stunned at what went down with that particular pick. And so I have been trying to wrap my head around it all weekend, and here's the best I can do. The only way I can make sense of the Atlanta Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick in this year's draft, in the year of our football gods, 2024, the only way it makes sense is you are worried about Kirk Cousins' health, you are worried about a quarterback who is 35-plus coming off of an Achilles injury being ready for this season, because a lot is riding, I think, on this season. And so you draft a quarterback who you think is pro-ready. That leads to a number of different spirals, but that is, of the ways that I can make sense of this, that's the only one. So, let's branch off of that, shall we? The first one, I think it's odd that you don't tell Kirk Cousins that you're doing this. I think it's really weird you don't give him a heads up. Like, hey, just so you know, this is the direction we're going. We want you to be aware. Please don't lash out and send a text message to every NFL insider that's ever existed on the face of the planet. Because that was a really bad look. And I hate it for Kirk Cousins. Like, look, dude, you're not that guy. You're a 35-year-old coming off of an Achilles injury, my guy. That this isn't Aaron Rodgers, oh, how could you possibly, or anything like that. Like, no, this is, you know, 35, Achilles. So, like, I think he handled it extremely poorly and remarkably immaturely for him. Like, just be an adult about it. In terms of the pick instead of a J.J. McCarthy, if you want to look at it from the lens of, we kind of want someone this year to keep it going, McCarthy is going to need a little bit more time to develop, I think. And he is going to, He didn't play the style of offense that the Atlanta Falcons wanted to play when he was quarterbacking out at Michigan. So I do, like, from that standpoint, I kind of understand it. The one thing, though, about Penix is I just have concerns about a guy who was like 24, 25 years old, playing in year six, having his best season. Like, yeah, you should be. You're 6 years older than some people you're playing against in college. Like that, you should be doing really, really well when you're 24 years old playing college football. So that is a concern that I have over this particular selection. I don't love it. I really don't love it. And I just tried to explain it, but now I'm going to explain why I think it sucks. I think it is too high. Injury worries aside, this team is built for now, right? Like they have gone out and addressed this offense with Robinson, with London, and with Kyle Pitts. You go out and get Kirk Cousins. If they hadn't got Kirk Cousins, then maybe you can squint and be like, okay, fine. They needed to do this to go out and make this move and get this team ready. Because otherwise, like, there is the starting of a foundation there. It's something we talk about on this show a lot. But the defense needs some help out there in Atlanta. And there were, I thought, quite a few really strong defensive players in this draft. And so it sets things up now that all of a sudden, the guys down in the middle part of the draft, they're getting defensive players up a rung from what they thought before. Like, the Colts get a significantly better defensive player than they thought. The Vikings get a significantly better defensive player than they thought they were going to get at 17, where they probably didn't think they were going to be drafting at all. And so that's where I think a lot of the dominoes fell into place, was that all of a sudden, these high-end defensive players are still there at 15, at 17, at 19, at 23. You still have these strong defensive players, and so that's where everything fell into place in this one. And so to not address anything for a team that is looking to win now, but still probably isn't good enough to really win now, like, with Kirk Cousins, are they the favorites in this division? I know a lot of people are going to say they are. I don't. Tampa Bay getting the band back together, another full year of them all figuring out that offense together. I have no problem taking Tampa Bay over Atlanta in that division right now. So for the Falcons, this was an opportunity to get better and solidify yourself for the now. And you kind of just made yourself in the now and for the future, because by the time you are going to be getting to Penix as the quarterback of the future for this team, he's going to be 26, 27 years old. Now, that does mean he can go on a bit of a run, and like, you get the way some quarterbacks are going, that could be 10 years of great quarterback play. But still, it's 27. That is at a point where you have started to figure out what you have in these players, and you are just going to be getting him going. So I could not make any sense of this. I do not understand what the Atlanta Falcons were going for. And just any way you try to explain it, there's a, yeah, but on the other side of it, that really makes it not make a whole lot of sense. And they kept reaching. Like, Warren Sharp had the post where the Michael Penix reach wasn't even like in their top five for biggest reaches. Ruka Rororo, and I might be saying that wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm saying it right. Taking him toward the top of the second round when he was a player I thought the Raiders might be able to get around the third round is just a gigantic reach. So it was just reach after reach after reach. And maybe it'll be crazy like a fox and they'll be able to lock this thing in, and all of a sudden all of these things worked. It just doesn't seem like it right now. And it seems like a whole lot of gambling when there was a lot of safety out there that we saw a lot of other teams do. So let's go through this draft, because there's a lot of storylines coming out of this. First of all, the Bears get a haul. Obviously, we knew they were going to do very well. They had Caleb Williams at one. That helps when you get the next big thing at the quarterback spot. But then to have Roma Dunze fall into their lap at 9, I wondered if that would happen, but I really didn't think that. I thought someone else would try to move up to get one of those receivers. But again, everyone was happy with where it was. There was a lot of good receivers as this draft went along, so receiver needy teams just kind of accepted, okay, yeah, we'll just get who we get. And now Dunze, who I think, and I was surprised, he seemed to fall a lot during the draft process. Like, I think if the draft happens immediately after the regular season is done, it is just like, or immediately after the football season is done, it is like national championship game, Super Bowl game, and go, draft. If they do that, I think Adunze goes 5th, 6th, not 9th, which isn't a catastrophic fall, but he certainly goes ahead of Malik Nabers. And so I think the Bears now get this extremely well-rounded receiver who could end up being the best receiver in this draft. At 9, it is a home run all day for the Chicago Bears, and they have to be absolutely loving it. And Justin Fields has to be like, guys, where was this? I could be doing something with this. You kidding me? But now for Caleb Williams, and again, what do we talk about when you're bringing in a young quarterback? Set them up to succeed immediately. They have done that with Moore, with Allen, with Adunze, with Cole Kmet, 85 decent running backs in that backfield. This is a Bears team that is now built for some success. And I'm not saying like they're the Houston Texans for next year, although that comparison is going to get beaten to the ground by around August or September. But this is going to be a somewhat competitive football team next season. The Commanders are filling out their roster pretty well. 9 picks. They had a lot of holes, but they had 9 picks, and I think they did it all right. They now go into this season with new cornerback with Daniels. They do bring in Marcus Mariota. I would be surprised if Daniels doesn't start from day one. That might be a mistake, but I still think that that's probably going to be the way that it goes. But they do have 3 new offensive linemen. You still, while they were kind of listed as a team that had receiver needs, you still have Dotson and McLaurin. You have Robinson and now Eckler in that backfield. There's something going there. And then they used, another pick on an offensive lineman. They addressed some concerns on the defensive side of things. This isn't going to be a good football team next year. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But they made good football team moves this week and this offseason. And it's not something you can say about the Washington professional football team all that often. Drake May goes to New England. A lot of talk about the Patriots moving out of this pick and maybe getting a little bit more draft capital. They end up sticking and picking. May is going to be, I think, really interesting. He shouldn't see the football field at all next year. And that is not a statement on him. That is a statement on the dog shit team that surrounds him. And New England, they did try to fill out some of their holes throughout this draft, but they didn't do nearly enough in free agency to make you feel like this is a situation for Drake May that would be any different than the Mac Jones situation was. And honestly, truthfully, he's probably walking into a worse situation than Mac Jones was. So I think May needs to sit, let Jacoby Brissett go out there and get the hell beat out of him, and then May can come in season 2. And hopefully you have another draft, another offseason period of really building around this kid. I like that Arizona stayed at 4. Harrison, definitely their number one, and the like maybe the second best player in this draft. And so there was some talk like maybe they move out and another team moves into that 4 spot to go out and reach for a J.J. McCarthy. But then anyone who was going to be doing that would probably knock you out of the Marvin Harrison Jr. realm. And or not, it definitely would have knocked you out of the Harrison realm, but it probably would have knocked you out of the top 3 with Neighbors, Harrison, and Odunze. So this one, I thought, was always the smart move for Arizona. I thought moving out of that spot was just being a touch too cute, and so they were able to not do that and make a smart move. This isn't a championship foundation. Like, you get the graphics always, who's going to stop this team? It's like, I don't know, probably most teams they play. But with Kyler Murray, a quarterback, you have Connor at running back, along with Harrison and McBride. It's a start. I think they're another offseason cycle away from really getting this thing up and running again. The Chargers played the game, and I think it worked. We talked on the draft preview how they were in a weird spot where it felt too high to take the offensive lineman, but it didn't feel like by the time you came around with your second round pick that a good offensive lineman was going to be there, so maybe try to play the game. They told me to bleep myself and just took the offensive lineman at 5. And as soon as they did that, I was like, you know what? This probably isn't too high to be taking your offensive lineman. And so they have gone with the opposite approach of what the Cincinnati Bengals had when they had an opportunity to protect Joe Burrow, instead went out and got him a beast of a wide receiver and went on towards the Super Bowl, but now have some trouble protecting their quarterback. This is, I think, the smart way to go about this. Get Joe Alt, clearly the best offensive lineman in this draft. Protect Justin Herbert, who has a difficult time protecting himself and has been rather beaten up lately. That was such an important part of this offseason for the Chargers, is protecting him. And then they go out in the second round. They do add a wide receiver, but with McConkey, I think he will fit into this offense. He is not a number one for this team. I mean, he might be a number one for this team, but he is not an NFL number one. I still think they are lacking in that area. So this is going to be a year where Justin Herbert needs to carry this team and do a lot of the heavy lifting. But I do think that this was the smart way to go about it. It's just, it's not quite as sexy. They do get Vidal and Rice late. Those are, I think, some interesting ads. And when we get down to fantasy football time, I think those are names that are going to be creeping up as, you know what? Late round flyer on this guy. Like, they have Gus Edwards, who is definitely Gus Edwards. And you have J.K. Dobbins, who you don't super feel comfortable with. Maybe there's a spot for him. And Rice, it's not like it is a stacked receiver room that he has to work his way through. So I think a couple smart picks for the Chargers. I love what the New York Giants did with their draft. Ignoring quarterback absolutely was the move for this team. You would have gone from being a team with a young quarterback and no weapons around him to being a team with a young quarterback and no weapons around him. And yes, maybe you do get a... maybe you do get like a cheaper quarterback and kind of reset the clock that way. But I don't think you were putting them in the right spot to succeed. Instead, go out and get Malik Nabers, who absolutely could be a home run pick in this draft. Give Daniel Jones something to work with. And then beyond that, they were able to continue to add with Newbin and with Phillips, adding to their secondary. And then Johnson at tight end, I think he can play right away as well. So I think they got some really, really good value picks. I'm not going to say this is like the Jets from a couple years ago or the Seahawks from a couple years ago, where they really laid, again, the word of the day, foundation. They really laid that foundation to allow themselves to build forward. But this was a really, really good start for the New York Giants, surrounding now their team with a lot of talent that they needed in a few different spots. The Minnesota Vikings get to basically stick and get McCarthy. They have to move up one spot ahead of the Jets to get that spot. McCarthy is going to be an interesting developmental prospect, I think, for them. Sam Darnold will probably start the season at quarterback for this team, but that will be, I think, a legitimate competition. If McCarthy comes out and wins it in training camp, then I think he wins it, and has now the opportunity to start from day one and get this thing rolling, because this team has a lot to like. And then they add even more to like later on with Dallas Turner falling to them. That was, I think, huge. And again, I think they are one of the real winners of the Penix Atlanta situation, because otherwise Turner is going up a defensive slot ahead of them. And now who knows what they do with 17. But a lot of people thought they went out, made that move so they could package a couple picks together, move up to 3 and take a Drake May, or move ahead in the draft and take J.J. McCarthy there, to be able to come away now with what a lot of people presume is your quarterback of the future, and with a strong edge rusher in Dallas Turner, I think is a really great move. It's kind of Texans light what they are able to do. So I thought home run for the Minnesota Vikings in this draft. The Jets, they start hot with their draft and then falter. Fashanu is a great move on the offensive line. You're worried about the health of Tyron Smith. Go out and get another offensive lineman who can be that guy for the future. And then they did try to address the rest of the weapons around Aaron Rodgers. Not that they needed a ton going out and getting Williams, but I worry about the depth behind him. But you still, like, you have Wilson and you have Hall. But they add some more offensive pieces that feel more like depth pieces. So instead of like, okay, they started hot and then they added and added and added, they started off hot and then filled out some depth spots for this team. When I thought maybe one more play, one more big play could have really, really helped. But also, shout out Stiggers, who gets drafted to the Jets, stop his football journey to help his family, goes into the like fan-controlled league, then moves into the Canadian Football League, Defensive Rookie of the Year, is able to go into the draft, and now realizes his dream of going to the National Football League. You love to see it. I did not like the Bo Nix pick. I know I've been relatively positive so far. He's not close to the 12th best player in this draft. He is not a first-round quarterback. And to take him in the top part of the first round are the types of picks that set franchises back. And look, maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe Sean Payton is this quarterback guru, and he's going to be able to come in and get the most out of Bo Nix, and the comparisons to him and Drew Brees, and the talk of, well, Sean Payton wanted Patrick Mahomes. Well, if you thought Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick Mahomes, you trade 8 different drafts to go up and get him. So you obviously, like, yeah, would you have picked him at 11? Probably. Should you have maybe tried to move up if you thought he was going to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport? Probably. Feel like you maybe should have done that. So let's stop with that whole conversation. But I want to know, aside from Drew Brees, who is already not a finished product, but already like a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback when Sean Payton got him, I want to know where these other quarterback masterpieces have come from, because it's kind of only been one dude who is already awesome already. And with Bo Nix, like the thought on him has always been, oh yeah, really accurate quarterback. It just felt like there was a lot of games I would watch with Bo Nix, and there was a lot of, uncharacteristic miss for Nix. Anyway, great accuracy. Oh, look at that. Pass a bit behind him. Well, uncharacteristic miss for Nix, but, you know, he's a really accurate quarterback most of the time. And it's just, it's not the ones that just has a guy over the middle and, oh shit, it sailed on him and it's whatever. But it's, you need it on the left shoulder and it's on the right. You need it low and it's high. Like, it's just, it's those little misses that he needs to be perfect at because he doesn't have the big booming arm or anything like that. Now, he might have a skill set that fits where the NFL is going. And so that could be where the Denver Broncos actually win in this one, is because teams are now so concerned with just keeping everything underneath. And Bo Nix is really concerned with just throwing everything underneath. So it could end up working, but I really, really don't think it will. And I think the Denver Broncos are going to be in a really tough spot, probably for a while. And I think a lot of it is because of Sean Payton's ego. But as a Raider fan, I think it helped me immensely, because I think the Atlanta Falcons and the Denver Broncos doing stupid stuff kept my team from doing stupid stuff. And instead, they take the best tight end in the draft. And while I didn't go into this offseason thinking that tight end was a gigantic need for the Raiders, I did go into this offseason thinking talent was a need for this Vegas Raiders squad, and they upped it, I think, significantly with the acquisition of Bowers. I think he immediately becomes a weapon in this offense, whether it's O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. I think that there is a lot you can do with this player. Like Mel Kiper Jr. he barely referred to him as a tight end. It was, oh, he's an H-back. Like, yeah, he'll line up as a tight end a lot. He can line up in the backfield. He can do fullback type things. You can line him up wide as a wide receiver. There are so many different things you can do with this cat. And I think that this is going to be a Raider team that can get a little creative with him. We have seen with Coach Pierce, there isn't a whole lot of convention to this cat. So I do think that we are going to see the Raiders get really creative with how they use Bowers coming out of this 13th spot. You can criticize Vegas, I think, a little bit, given their quarterback situation. But at 13, moving up to get McCarthy doesn't make sense. Moving up to get Nix doesn't make sense. Moving up to Penix doesn't make sense. If any of those guys would have fallen to them in the second round and you go Tennessee Titans on this thing, then yeah, I think that works. But to waste a first-round pick on a quarterback who wasn't a first-rounder, the Raiders, I think, got really bailed out by teams ahead of them making poor, poor decisions. I'm a little surprised that the New Orleans Saints don't come out of this draft with better offensive weapons. I think Fuaga is a good upgrade on this offensive line, but they really only have Kamara and Chris Olave. You have a little Taysom Hill sprinkled in there, but aside from that, this offense was dog shit last year, and I don't think it was just because of the offensive line. Now, the fifth best wide receiver in this draft probably doesn't help you, but I thought they needed to try to go out and get Derek Carr a little bit more on this offense, and they didn't really do it. Now, doubling down on a strength, Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think, is going to be a really fun part of a Dennis Allen coach defense. I think that's going to be an immense help for this squad and make them really, really fun defensively. So doubling down on that. But I thought they needed to come away with a little bit more on the offensive side of things. Going into the Indianapolis Colts draft, I thought they had one of the more underrated drafts. If Latu is healthy, and there was a lot of concerns about his medicals because he medically retired at one point and has now come back into the draft, if he is healthy, then this kid's a stud, and this is a phenomenal pick for the Indianapolis Colts. They needed something big on that I was going to say blue line. I'm into hockey talk. They needed something big on that defensive side of things, and I think they got it. He is the type of smart, aggressive pass rusher that you can kind of build around on the defense, and he is just one who is a rising tide who I think ends up lifting all boats. And then to get Adonai Mitchell in the second round, I think complements really well. They went on and filled out some depth on the offensive line as well. But to get Mitchell, I think him with Pittman to go along with what we assume Anthony Richardson's strengths are, I think they've built a sneaky, really good offense here. Along with Taylor, I really liked what the Indianapolis Colts did. And I thought this was one of the more underrated drafts out there. The Seahawks also do really, really good. And also saved themselves from a bad pick, because there was a lot of talk that Penix wasn't going to make it past the Seahawks at 16. That is one where you can almost squint and see it make sense. Again, I don't think Penix is a first-round quarterback. I think so many teams, oh yeah, just draft a quarterback and move on. Just draft a quarterback, get him at cheap, and keep it churning. Especially in this draft, there's so many talented players that you're passing up on to do that. And so when you are reaching at the quarterback spot to get a player, any spot, if you are reaching in the first round to get a player who is not a first round talent, when there are other first round talents out there, regardless, if it's a fucking guard, it just sets you back. And so the Seahawks, I thought, kind of saved from reaching on Penix. He would have been an interesting fit at quarterback there, because that is kind of the last need for them. And if he is NFL ready, then that Seahawks team makes some noise, but they don't do that. They end up adding Murphy up the middle, and I think he can be a game wrecker. And this is a defense that already has a few of those. And so that this could be, I'm not going to say like, oh yeah, Legion of Boom or anything like that, but this could be a piece that kind of tilts the scale into this defense from going to maybe not good to great, but good to very good. Absolutely. And I think that's enough to be a contender in the NFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Wouldn't you know it, the Pittsburgh Steelers absolutely nailed it. And I have loved the Steelers offseason. With the obvious exception of Russell Wilson, I think the Steelers have kind of made this offseason their bitch. They go out and they add a couple offensive linemen here who are going to be able to start right away. And not even the first round pick. But you get Zach Frazier as a steal at 51. You get Wilson, who could absolutely be a real nice counterpiece to Pickens. And then you get the other Wilson, Peyton Wilson, to start at linebacker next to Queen in that room. I think the Steelers just crushed this draft. And to go along with what I said is the best free agent signing of the free agent period with Queen, I think the Steelers are going to be a team to be reckoned with. If they can just figure out the quarterback thing with Wilson or Fields, then I think this is a team that can actually make quite a bit of noise. Another thing, if you have watched this show, and we just celebrated 3 years not too long ago, if you watch the show for any length of time, you will know that I, last season, was not a believer in the Detroit Lions. And it was weird to be like, yes, I know they're in the NFC Championship game. I still don't think they're that good. That was admittedly a tough stance to have, but it was one that I absolutely believed in. On this, the 29th of April, I am handing in my Detroit Lions hater card. Because again, they crushed this draft. To be able to get Arnold and Rexhaw at quarterback, along with Branch from last season, to help this secondary out. Secondary was kind of the last frontier for this team. To be able to go out and do that, I think, is so good. That was the need that they needed to address. They did it, I thought, with great strength. And now you look at those guys in the secondary to go along with Hutchinson. They add Marcus Davenport and DJ Reader to that defensive line. This is such a strong defense now that I think, well, a strong defense would be a bit of an overstatement, but this is a significantly improved defense that can now play the style of football they want. And I think Jameson Williams is going to have that breakout season next year. So it just feels like all the pieces have fallen into place now for the Detroit Lions to go out and really make a statement. Also, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles crushed this draft. Oh yeah, this team needs help in the secondary. Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean nailed it. Locked it down. Perfect. No notes. 100% an amazing draft already with those guys. And then they add Trotter, they add Hunter along here. That defense is like just stupid that how they're able to get these quality pieces in the draft. Now, we thought that last year and the defense took a step back, absolutely. But they, I think they crushed it. And you just know, Shipley is going to be a problem for someone at some point. Like, he's going to come in. There's going to be a Shipley game this year for Philadelphia. Like, Saquon's going to limp off in the first quarter. Shipley's going to come in. It's going to be 132 on 16 and just lighting the world on fire for this Eagles squad. A little surprised there wasn't a ton for offensive line depth in this draft for them, but that there's only so many picks you can have. And then finally, Xavier Worthy to Kansas City is just fun. Like, we talked about how the NFL is now looking at, like, the defenses are just keep everything in front of you. Worthy is someone who I think can outrun all of that, but also he is someone who you just get him on a quick little drag and he can turn a 3-yard pass into a 25-yard gain, I think, really, really quick. He is not Tyreek Hill, but he is a really nice wish.com Tyreek Hill. And I think this is such a great fit. And it's interesting that Buffalo is the one who trades him, because I thought that that was a lock for Buffalo to get that player. And I thought a need that they have, and it'll be interesting because Buffalo already traded the pick that turned into Patrick Mahomes to the Chiefs. If they do somehow get the next Tyreek Hill on the football field out of this, then I think they're going to be regretting a number of the actions that they have taken in this draft. All right, look, this has already been a fairly long one here, so I think we're going to break this up into two parts. Just the NFL talk, and then we'll get into some hockey, some NBA, and a lot of combat sports stuff in part two. So we're going to stop it here. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this one. Again, part two is going to look at hockey, going to look at basketball, and going to look at a whole lot of the fight stuff. Canelo, UFC 301, and WWE Backlash. We're going to get into all that in part two, coming up in just a matter of moments. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK, and you can email this show, CouchPotatoDiary@yahoo.com. All right, talk to you guys in a second. I'm out.
Feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Save big money at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. We have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Get free estimates fast using our easy do-it-yourself landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape products at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and Menards.com for deals.